Hello there, and a very warm welcome to Racing Only Better Entry Day 2. We've had day one. Well, we actually haven't had day one because we're recording this on Wednesday afternoon. I'm in Liverpool. It's absolutely fishing down here at the moment. It'll be interesting to see. I think everyone's going to do their form for softer or soft to heavy ground. Everybody, TC, quick update. Any update in the ground? I know you were talking about going stick earlier on.
Yeah, the going stick readings are all under, well, there was 2.8 on the chase course, 2.9 on the national course, 3.1 on the hurdles course. Worsened considerably since Tuesday morning. They had 9 mil on Tuesday. They've already had 4 mil today. This is Wednesday at 3 o'clock, and the rain is due to start again, if it hasn't already stopped, at 9 p.m. So it's going to be heavy. The going stick reasons suggest it's already heavy, and then some. So that's the basis everyone should be working on.
More important update, Barry. How's the Adelphi?
Thankfully, I'm not in the Adelphi. What would give you that impression, anyway?
I just love the idea of that place. It sounds like
the hotel stopped being popular about 20 years ago.
Yeah, it certainly has. There's still a certain element that goes into it, mind. I might find myself in there before the week's out. Never say never. But listen, let's kick straight on, lads. Just to let everyone know, the offer Thursday and Friday on the Betfair Sportsbook, a completely free bet on horse racing multiples. And don't forget, there's a whole host of additional place races, not least the first race we're going to talk about on Friday. That's the 220. It's the Handicap Hurdle, the premier race. It's five places each way. Punters Katira is your favorite for the Skeletons at 7-1, has been as big as 16 in the anti-post market, making headways at an 8-1 chance. Boom Boom 9, same as In the Water Side. Nichols gives that a good shout, as he does Sonny Gino, who he thinks probably reading between the lines is the best of his because he's course form, and he does really appreciate that good, that heavy ground. TC, I'm going to start with you here. How are you reading this race?
Katira was the one that immediately leapt out after an eye catcher at Kempton last time. Has won twice on soft ground, but it sounds like Connections and the jockeys who have ridden the horse thinks she's much better on good ground. Now, that would obviously be a big worry. I think she's handicapped to go well, ran well in the meeting last year in a grade one behind Irish Point, but the ground will be off-putting. And also, the sportsbook are trying to duck her at sevens. I can see why. If it does dry out, she's a player. But Skelton's got five in here. And the one I like's already been backed from 33s with the sportsbook into 22s. But the 22s is still the biggest price available allied to those five places. So West of the Briz interests me. I mean, it's been a typical kind of like Skelton float-up for a big meeting. Been held up off the pace all three starts this season, which is curious for a horse that's best, all its best forms have been when forcing the pace or when making all. So I expect a change of tactics here. Now, there are six others that go forward, but the horse is down to a mark of 131 now. And, you know, the handicapper was generous for the first two starts, but he saw that banger run last time, which was like I said, it was a bit of a float up for something like this. So the handicap, even though he got beaten for 20 lengths, the handicapper refused to drop it, which he should have done, having a look at the ride. So I thought West of the Bridge, in ground he'll like, he's a course winner. He's lower than the wins, a good six in the race last year. I thought West of the Bridge, 22-1 each way, five places, was probably the way to go in the race. He's 11-year-old and he's not as sexy as some of these, but yeah, he'll do for me.
Old dog for the hard road. A float up. I've never come across that expression before. Would you care to?
He was ridden with an eye to the future.
Okay, right. That's a little bit more diplomatic. Dan, how are you reading it?
Yeah, obviously a really warm race. I can totally see where TC is coming from. With the Skeleton angle, it looked like they got, I mean, it's not just the title race, is it? It looks like they're all guns blazing for a meeting at which they've traditionally done very well anyway. The one that interests me most, and I think we might get bigger, is Making Headway, however. And it's on a piece of, well, it's actually on a few pieces of form, but the entry run here again, the run here against Django Bay, who ended up winning because Farron Glory crashed out. I will be keeping Django Bay on side, by the way. I'm two against the field in this, Barry. Django Bay since then, as I didn't think was well placed in a tactical race in that Sydney Banks at Huntingdon, did all he could, ran on late, freshened up, missed Cheltenham, so I like his claims. But making headway is my main one. He's a Molinas who had point form and has run only around 2 miles so far. And he is so clearly crying out for a longer trip. I think testing ground is great for him. He's wearing the pieces. I never really like in combination with a step up in trip. I prefer it. You just do one or the other. And then once you've tried the trip, you can then introduce the cheat pieces. But it seems a signal of intent, if nothing else, on what promises to be a pretty big day for Greenall and Guerrero, because they've got a lively one in the opener as well. So making headway, win and place is my main bet, but I'll be saving on Django Bay.
Okay, saving on Django Bay. What about the mare at the top of the market at 7-1, Daryl? What do you make of her?
Yeah, I'm very, very keen on her. I think she's been absolutely laid out for this. We know that they like to lay one out, the Skeltons, and this has obviously been on their mind for a long time. It was definitely a prep run at Kempton last time under Nico de Boinville. Big eye catcher there. Last year's form behind Irish Point is by far the best on offer. Lots of those horses down that field have gone on to win big handicaps, rated much higher in the weights. She's off a mark of 136 here. She absolutely tanked through that race last year as well. I think she goes well in the spring. I'm not overly concerned about soft ground because I do think she'll get 3 miles in time. Obviously, if it dries out, it'll be a bigger plus for her, but jeez, I just think she's so well handicapped. She's got the strongest form of the race and she's been lined up for it. So, yeah, sevens is like, I know they're ducking her a little bit, but quite rightly so, really, because she could go off any price.
Okay, fair enough. A full field of 22 go to post. It's five places each way. Punters west of the bridge for TC at 22-1. The favourite, Katira, for Daryl, and making headway with a saver on, what was your saver, Dan?
Django Bay, just saving
Django
the
Bay.
farm line, really.
Sorry, excuse me. On to the second race we're going to talk about. It's the 255, and it's the trader, Trusted Trader Top Novice Hurdle. It's the grade one over 2 miles, and we have Mystical Power and Firefox facing off again. Obviously, the supreme form coming to play here. Mystical Power traded at 16-1 on at one stage when he headed Slade Steel in the supreme on the Betfair Exchange. Firefox got into a little bit of trouble, a little bit of scrummaging, Daryl. Is that fair to say? They think they'll finish closer, still 3.5 lengths to find on Mystical Power. Firefox halves, and then we Dysart Enos, the mare, who's getting the £7 allowance and was well touted for that mare's novice hurdle. How are you reading it, Daryl?
Yeah, the mare Dysart Enos, she's been putting like she's won the mares novice, isn't she, for a starter with Golden Ace out there at 10-1. I was with Mystical Power at Cheltenham. I was yeah, look, Firefox didn't get the clearest of runs, but I still think Firefox was outpaced by Mystical Power at a crucial time in a race. I didn't think Mark Walsh gave Mystical Power the best of rides, to be quite honest. I thought he could have been a bit more aggressive with the horse before the last, rather than sort of waiting and popping. He was never going to beat Stay Still on reflection, but he was still a clear second best for me. And I think 7-4 is very appealing for him to get some just rewards.
Okay, so the favourite for Daryl. Dan, how are you looking at it? Do you think Firefox could get any closer? Would you give the mare a chance?
Yeah, I do. When I watched, less so the mare, I think Firefox and Mystical Power should be closer together. Again, I'm worried about these conditions for Mystical Power. Not that he doesn't handle heavy ground, but he was blatantly outstayed for me after getting to the front against Slade Steel. He's by Galileo out of Annie Power. He's not like a proper slogging national hunt bred. And the burst of speed he showed to get to the front, he sort of couldn't carry through. And I mentioned that some of the times in the pod yesterday, that last time this was running heavy, it took 440 odd to run. I mean, it's going to be 20, they're going to be running for 20 odd seconds more than they were in that supreme, and I think that plays into the hands of Firefox. And again, just watching it back, that was really significant interference he met at the worst point of the race. He was probably a length behind Mystical Power when he first got cut up, and then he had to switch back inside again. Meanwhile, Mystical Power gets this unencumbered run down the outside, and maybe he did hit the front a bit too soon, could have been delivered later, but ultimately I thought he failed rather through a lack of stamina compared to the winner, and it was some effort from Firefox, I thought, to get back up for third in the circumstances. So I'm a believer in the reversal.
Fair enough. Okay, so it's 7-4 Mystical Power, 11-4 Firefox. Dysart Enos is a 9-2 chance. It's 9 bar. TC, it's the dead 8 in the air for each way punters. Is there a bit of value lurking around outside of the top of the market?
I was looking to get with Look Away, but I mean, obviously, I think that that horse is second in the Great Wood on very deep ground is quite appealing here. But the stable form was really bad, and you know, the first time cheat pieces for the stable, they're only one from 22, so they are clear negatives, and obviously has to bounce back from a couple of poor efforts. I think Mystical Power is a bit too short, 7-4. He's bigger elsewhere, and I can kind of see five. I went round in circles here. I thought Mr. Gift ran, considering he was coming in off the back of just a Limerick run. I thought Mr. Gift ran a really good race. If you chance my arm here, I think I'd probably go with Mr. Gift at nines, probably be a bit bigger on the exchange. But what I would say is, I mean, Dan's touched upon it again there. We are not dealing with soft ground here. We are dealing with proper heavy ground. There's five more mil due on Thursday, and there's three more mil due on Friday. If they get more than that, we could get into inspection territory. So we shouldn't be blasé about the ground. It's going to be heavy, like I said, heavy plus plus. But before we move on, just very quickly, there were 10 horses balloted out of the handicap we've just covered. If you want a list of those, they'll be on my column when it goes live on Friday late morning.
Other thing about the slog TC is that Look Away's got one way of going, and Personal Ambition has been best ridden forward as well, and he's stepping down in trips. So you get, I mean, this really could be last man standing to say it's a Grade One 2 mile novice hurdle for classy horses.
Yeah, I've got Firefox question mark, Mr. Gift question mark, and the two you mentioned, Look Away, Personal Ambition. It could be, you know, really well run, obviously.
Okay, well, it's Dan and Daryl facing off at the top of the market. Daryl's taking Mystical Power and Dan taking Firefox to Doom at 11-4. The third race we're going to talk about at 3:30. It's the Mild May. It's My Pension Expert, or sorry, Melling Chase, another Grade One over 2.5 miles. John Bond, who we last saw getting beat a fours on in the rescheduled Clarence House in Cheltenham, is your favourite at 2-1. 11-4, the Ryanair winner protector at Pick Dory, who has to have to say Paul Nichols gives it a very favourable mention indeed in his blog, which you can read exclusively on betting.fr, is 3-1, 11-2, Envoy Allen, and 16 bar. Daryl, I'm going to come to you here. I know you've been a big John Bond fan. I know with Nicky Henderson horses, it's really a watch and brief to see what happens with the likes of Sergino and Shiskin on the Thursday. But is this a horse you're going to keep faith in?
Yeah, I am. I am here. This race tends to go to the sort of younger horse in the field. I think you'll go back to 2012 for the last horse older than eight to win this. That was Finian's Rainbow, and he only had four runs, I think, over fences. And then back to 2010, where the other horse only had six runs over fences. So a lightly raced horse you look for in this race. I like the fact that he actually comes here fresh, a bit fresher than those who ran at Cheltenham, Protectorate in particular, because I think Protectorate's his biggest danger. Protectorate's never really came out of Cheltenham firing in the past. So the last couple of years, they've tended to give him a break and bring him back in the autumn or the winter. I think stepping up and trip is going to suit him. Likes a Sprinter Sacra, God's Own, Fox Norton stepped up and tripped to win this. Min, Politilog, Fakir Dow Dairies, they all had form over 2 miles. No negative to be stepping up and trip, regardless of the ground. I know the ground's probably not absolute ideal for him, but this is a sharp enough test round entry. You know, we've got to remember that. But I think he's the classiest horse in the race. I think he'll take a bit of beating. There's a good bit of pace on in here as well, so I'm hoping that Nico's going to be a little bit more conservative with him, and just hold on to him a bit more, and hopefully he can do him for a turn of foot.
And just to play devil's advocate, if Shiskin and Sergino were to get beat, or one or both of them was to get beat, how would you see John Bond then?
Wouldn't care. I
Okay.
wouldn't like that. I don't work like that, you know. Like I
Yeah.
every like for it is a good example, right? After the nonsense that was going on at Cheltenham with Nicky Henderson's runner, who he ran horses where they had little chance of winning any race anyway. Then the Saturday, Persian Time ran at Kempton. They put him in at 10-1. The punters are still backing him because he went off half the odds and he won at Kempton. You know, the punters are still backing these horses. They're not big
Yeah.
drifters. They had an even money winner at Ludlow during the week. Every horse is individual to me. So it, you know, one's not the same as the other.
Yeah, just a different way to look at it. Okay, that's fair enough. Dan, what about you?
Yeah, I love how that's a nice dynamic, isn't it? How we skin the cat different ways. That is the game. I didn't think there was anything at all to knock Protectorat with. I can understand Paul's bullishness with Pick Doherty, you know, missing Cheltenham, classic Paul having him ripe for a race outside the festival. But I do think heavy ground might blunt him. Such a fast horse, aggressive horse. He's won on heavy in the past, but it wasn't much of a race, and he's primarily been kept away from it. He won a Betfair hurdle on good ground, didn't he, going back? Protector out, on the other hand, you've got absolutely no concerns about his ability to handle bad ground. He's an absolute mudlark. They found that sweet spot for him, didn't they? They campaigned him over marathon trips for a long time. I thought going back in distance, I wasn't dead sure it was the answer before the Ryanair, but it certainly proved to be so in the race. I don't think MYLM will reverse form under these conditions. And I hark back a couple of years ago to a Many Clouds chase at this track, which was run on similarly demanding ground, heavy at Aintree, and Protector absolutely slashed up. He won by 20-odd lengths and was basically pulling all the way around. I mean, not many horses handle testing ground as well as him. I thought it was really, really hard to knock.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay, so again, Daryl and Dan going head to head at the head of the market. TC, how are you reading it?
Yeah, I don't think this far out you can back a Henderson horse. I tried to get a line out of Nico de Bonneville this morning, actually, about the stable form. He was non-committal. He basically said, come back to me on Thursday evening. So as much as everyone says, it's obviously a massive concern. And if they're worried and they're close to the horses and they don't know, so we don't know. So just bear that in mind. I looked at this and the sportsbook are absolutely out on a limb by going 16 to 1 about conflated, short as nines elsewhere. That's big enough to tempt me in conflated. I backed him in the Ryanair and I was a little bit disappointed with his performance in finishing third there. I thought he was a little bit tame. I never thought he was going well to win the race and I was quite relieved when he got into third. But I think if you look at his overall form at his best, this is a horse who finished third in the Gold Cup last year, and I don't think he truly stays that far. Now, if the cheap pieces do make a difference and perk him up a bit, and he races with a bit more zest than he did at Cheltenham, then I think 16 to 1 belies his raw talent. I mean, John Bond's a 170 horse. I think Conflady was a 168 horse at the end of last year. If the headgear does make a bit of a difference, and the Elliott's record with that headgear is neither here nor there. It's very moderate, below his normal strike rate. But if the headgear does make a difference, I think the 16 to 1 is simply too big. So Conflated for me, win only.
Fair enough. John Bond for Daryl, Protectorat for Dan, and Conflated for TC. The fourth race we're going to talk about, a 4.05. It's the Topham, 25 runners in it, six places the each way punters on the Betfair Sportsbook. Talk about first time cheek pieces. Bill Baxter in them is 4-1 favorite at the moment from 6-1. 11-2, shake him up, Harry. Again, could be a big day for Harry Redknapp. Life in the Park for Rachel Blackmore and Henry de Bromhead is 15-2. Just by the way, Rachel Blackmore's Serial Winners Fund is on 205,000. That draws to a close on Grand National Day. Watch out for more about that across our social channels. Your Darling is in there at 8-1, 10-1, James Spirulay, and 12-1, Bardem. TC, I'm going to stick with you here. Six places. Have you picked something out in this in the Topham?
I have. Bill Baxter, winner last year, very defensively priced. The first time headgear for the stable, 10 from 71 in the last 8 years. So again, that's actually a little bit better than Great Trex's normal strike rate. And he ended a poor spell with a double at Hereford yesterday. So I can see it, but the price is not there. Your Darling's really, really interesting, just for the fact is the whole Pauling's finally caught on to the fact that the horse doesn't take his racing. So immediately after the Ascot win in November, he said, we're going to the Topham. And the fact that he's here is obviously a testament to some long range playing from the stable. But I'm not sure he wants the ground this heavy. That's the concern with him. The one, like a friend on Twitter that you don't like to follow and you mute them, I tend to kind of like ignore Frero Bamboo. But the more I looked at the race, I just thought 20 to 1 with the six places. And that's quite a powerful combination on this Betfair Sportsbook. I thought Frero Bamboo was just one last go. Down to a mark of 131. Stable had a winner breaking a really bad spell of pulled-ups recently. And like I said, the horse's handicapped to run well off 131. We've been saying that for the last 2 years, but he's 2 pound lower than when running well in the Sefton on similarly bad ground. And I just thought that the price was too big in the conditions over a course that he's run well at before. So hopefully the penny will finally drop. And like I said, and the prices and the each way terms have suckered me in for another go on Freira.
If they gave out medals for backing this horse, you'd have a chest full of them.
I, well, mate, I haven't backed
You're
I haven't
slaved them.
backed him for the last three times, but like you say, you look at stuff in isolation, you just think if he does put it all together, then yeah, like I said, and
With these Frero Bamboo, you're really spoiling us, Ambassador. You've been spoiling your
you
P&L, this
just
lad. And
Mark,
everyone else's, bloody hell.
what do you fancy it, Dan?
I had the same response as TC actually when you think Bill Baxter's probably been aimed at this all season, and then you see that he's a 4-1 chance and your heart properly sinks because they've not missed him. I'd be staggered if he goes off that price because it's not like he's been pulling up that many trees this season, even if this has been the main aim. I thought James de Burley's really top end handicap form and his good jumping entitled him to be right amongst the market leaders. I thought he was arguably the most solid horse in the race. I think your darling could lead at the last and finish unplaced the way he finishes his races, although he's obviously better fresh than when he's been racing. And the other one I like is a bigger price, slightly more speculative, but Empire Steel beat a subsequent 12-length winner at Kelso in Nelson. Jumps superbly, has never run over these fences before. I think he might devour them and he'll get the right sort of ride. A tremendously likable horse, Empire Steel, and the angle with him is the fact that he might eke out a pound's worth or two of improvement. Now he's got the chance to really excel over these big fences.
Excellent. Okay, so Empire Steel and James Brulé for Dan. Daryl, finally, if you for the Topham, do you fancy anything in it?
Yeah, just one. I'm hoping Rachel Blackwell can add to the serial winner fund because I like life in the park here. I think the tongue. I've always had a little bit of a soft spot for this horse. I've never really quite been able to work out what trip this horse wants, but I think he wants soft ground, and I think he's going to prove to be a 3 miler in time. But this trip will be just fine for him. There was plenty of improvement last time for the fit of the tongue tie and the plate. Really steamed home behind Shake 'Em Up Harry. Finished with aplomb, and it just said to me that this is a well handicapped horse that's still got more to give. Only a 7-year-old. I think the way he jumps, he'll take to these fences. So I'm looking forward to seeing him going over. Off a mark of 140, I don't think that's out of his reach.
Excellent life in the park for Daryl. And the 440 is the final ITV race we're going to talk about. It's not our final race, mind. It's the Cavani Sartorial Menswear Sefton Novice Hurdle. I think I saw Mick Fitzgerald giving them a right plug on Twitter during the week. He must have
Won't
been
lie,
eating.
I'd do the same, Barry. If they sent me a free whistle, I'd be all over it.
Well, you never know, Dan. After this, they might just do that. The Jukebox Man is your favorite at 11-4. Dancing City 130. It's really the Albert Bartlett form coming to the fore here. Reading Tommy Wrong 4-1. Shanag Bob is 9-2. It's 8-1. Bar TC, I'll start with you here. We've nine runners, so it's good each way make up to the race. Do you fancy anything in it?
If you go with the proviso that horses can run badly or go well at Cheltenham and run badly at Aintree, I think reading Tommy Wrong, if you are forgiving nature, I mean he went off twos for the Albert Bartlett and he's fours here and obviously in a much kind of like more truncated race. So I can if you are forgiving nature, I mean he's currently 9-2 on the exchange, reading Tommy Wrong. So I went back and had a look at his running the Albert Bartlett, and he was going perfectly well, three out, jumped that well, was going all right between going down to the second last, and then he just literally cut out within a matter of 100 yards. So presumably he's coming here, they might have found something wrong with him. So like I said, if you are a forgiving nature, maybe reading Tommy Wrong at 4-1 or 9-2 on the exchange win only is probably the way to go. But I haven't really got a firm opinion on it. I was going to, in my notes, saying make sure you get a joke in about Ben Pauling and golf clubs. But I've
Yeah.
now I don't have to be nasty to everyone and wade in every Monday. I'll just let that pass. So.
Okay, fair enough. The jukebox man is an interesting runner, really, isn't it? And it's another Harry Redknapp one too. Obviously, Shake 'Em Up Harry on the same card as well, Darrell. What do you think? He's strong at the top of the market, it has to be said. Now, he was six when we first went up with this race. He's 11-4 favourite now. Obviously, there's non-runners in it from the anti-post stages, but he is quite strong at the head of the market.
Yeah, he's proved himself in the slog of the mud the last twice, hasn't he? I thought he got the run of the race in the Albert Bartlett, to be quite honest. It wasn't a very overly inspiring time figure. And I thought he was well positioned. There was a couple that disappointed. Reading Tommy Wrong was a horse that I was on for the Albert Bartlett. I felt he was a really good bet. He was back towards the off. But I didn't think he handled the downhill run. And then, like Tony said, he just cut out. And the only issue I've got with that is that he's over it. You don't know if it's travel. If it's travel related, it's the first time he's been out of Ireland. And to be running again in Britain, it's a risky proposition. So I'll probably have a small bet on him, win only on the Betfair Exchange. I'll be keeping Shanahar Bob on side as well, because I think his form is a little bit underestimated through his point-to-point win over Gorgeous Tom, who ties in with a lot of the Irish horses. He hasn't done anything wrong, and he's improving. He will get through this ground, and he will just stay and stay and stay. And that's just what you might need come 4:40 on Friday.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. So reading Tommy Wrong for Daryl. Dan, how are you looking at it?
Yeah, I look forward to Maxwell on Ballyventura, you know, end of 3 miles, the lad. Best of luck, Green, because the horse looks like he'll stay really well. He's going up in trip. I don't really like that, but Bartlett for me either. Only two horses are ever involved. 33's chance beats an 18's chance. Nothing else really ran a race. So I'm preferring the handicap form, actually, of Kintaro. He's like the iron horse, this fella. He runs over 3 miles plus on soft ground nearly every other week and just performs. Now, he's been a bit... not frustrating. I don't think he's had luck on his side. He's often been sort of hassled into doing a bit too much. The day at Warwick where he made that bad mistake and stumbled at the last, that cost him. His horse just keeps galloping though, revels in the mud. One of his wins this season was here on testing ground. I thought he was perfectly solid, and there is the chance you get a result here, because if that Albert Bartlett form proves to be sort of fool's gold, then it blows it wide open.
Yeah, it certainly does. Fair enough. Okay, Dan. So Kintaro for Dan and reading Tommy Wrong. The lads are both giving that another chance after pulling up in Cheltenham. That's the last of the ITV races, guys, but we're going to swing back. We're going to go back to the first race, which is the Grade One. It's this is a great name. The Huyton Ashfeld Franny Blennerhassett. A member of a family called Blennerhassett's used to sponsor a race down in Tralee. I think they're an oil family down around that way. But what a great name. I'm sure Franny was a lovely fella. It's a memorial race for him. And it's currently 9-4 to field. I know the way you're thinking has to have been one of the most impressive winners at the festival is 9-4. Oroco, who Dan alluded to earlier, could be a big day for that training duo, is a 4-1 chance along with Hartwood for Rachel Blackmore and Henry de Bromhead. It's the same price the ultimate winner, Chianti Classico. Dan, I'll come to you here. Are you an Oroco fan?
Yeah, sort of. It's a really hard race. It's an absolute smasher. One of the highlights of the week for me, you know, six progressive young novice chasers. Loads of them arriving on, well, basically all of them arriving on the back of an up-to-scratch run, bar Broadway Boy, who ended up just doing a bit too much too soon at Warwick. I do like the claims of Oroco, though, mainly because I think he'll have learnt a lot from Cheltenham, a race where nothing really got into it. Ginny's Destiny and Grey Dawning ensured that there was no hiding place, and he was arriving cold after a long absence, after a win at Warwick. Ran really well at the meeting last season in the Sefton as a novice hurdler. Handles testing ground fine. Cheltenham handicap winner prior. His hurdling form's a match for any of these, and I think he can take the step up. I sort of feel like I know the way you're thinking is a false favourite. He was really impressive on the face of it, but that looked the worst handicap of the week. And the evidence since wouldn't exactly dissuade you. The fourth horse has finished the tailed off eighth. The fifth was pulled up, and the only other runs wants to run from the race has been pulled up as well. So one of those where people are going to latch onto him because it was sort of a strikingly impressive performance, but I'd be against him. I liked Hartwood's performance as well at the DRF. I thought he was one of the most impressive handicap wins of the season, and the way he finished suggests 3 miles will be no problem. So I'm not going to pass this race up without keeping him on side, but I definitely like the case for Oroco. Now he's back up to 3 miles with the run behind him.
Okay, so a couple of 4-1 chances for Dan Hartwood and Oroco. TC, Chianti Classico, he definitely deserves a step up like this, doesn't he? He's been a real revelation this season, and he's been brought along nicely by Kim Bailey.
Yeah, I thought this was a anything could win kind of race when I first looked at it this morning. The price that stood out was Hartwood. It was pretty much 8 to 8 and 7s across the board. Now he has been steadily backed all throughout the day. Obviously, we're doing this on Wednesday. Now into fours with the sports book. So plenty of people think Rachel Blackmore is going to get another 5 grand in that fund. And I can fully see it for the reason Dan said. Ultra impressive in the DRF. You know, it was only off a mark of 136, but won it handsome there, didn't they? Even though there was another four at the last. As Dan said, finished off really powerfully. I think the step up in triple suit, unexposed, you know, the form against the likes of Grange Clear West early in the season in beginners chases is very strong. So I think the price is probably hit the base now at 4 to 1, but I do like Hartwood's claims. If he drifts out again, I might get on board. But he was the one that I wanted to get with. But at fours, I could probably leave him alone now.
Okay, fair enough. And Daryl, finally, on the opener on Friday, what's your feelings about it?
Can't work out whether I know the way you're thinking is a great bet or he's going to make a fool of me, really. There was no second, third, fourth, or fifth in that Kimmy to him. Like there was. It doesn't matter about the form. He absolutely hosed up. I'd be more interested in his sort of third behind Gaelic Warrior back at Limerick. When if Simon Torrens wanted to put the foot to the pedal, he could have easily finished a second to him. He was a 7th, 11th, third there behind Ilitay Tomps. He was obviously absolutely thrown in. I bet they couldn't believe their luck when they got a pound rise from the British handicapper to get into that Kimmy. You need to run to 160 to win this. That's what the last 10 years will tell you. I have a feeling that he's possibly the only horse in here that could probably run into the 160. Now, the issue is he's very slow and he's very sloppy at some of his fences, particularly early on in the race. He warms into a race. So he might trade bigger than his current price is my point. So I would probably hold off and back him as the race goes off. But for me, I think he's the most likely winner because I think he can run to that big 160 rating, and I'm not sure a lot of these care.
Yeah, he only traded, interestingly, a little over 7 to 2 in running in Cheltenham that day when he looked, Jamie, he looked 1 million to 1 to my eyes at one stage. But for his supporters, thankfully, he found that fifth leg and won doing handsprings. So it's the favourite for you. I know the way you're thinking. On to the final race we're going to talk about. It concludes racing on Friday. It's the 5:15. It's the boys' race. It's the Alderhay Handicap Pearl. The Betfair Imperial Cup winner, Go Dante, is your favourite at 11 to 2, a joint favourite with Maiden Street Prince, who's also 11 to 2. Affadil in there at 9 to 1 with Sky Cutter, the same price, 10 Densworth. Whole host of horses in here. It's five places to each way punters. TC, have you picked one out?
By far the best bet of the day in here. In fact, it was so good I was gonna not mention it on this podcast and save it for my column on Thursday. But gotta respect the podcast. The horse in here, we got five places. I could not believe that Lutral Lad was 28s and 25s across the board this morning. 25 still remains with the sports book. I'd barely have it in double figures. Now this is a horse that's in decent form, being run over further than this on good ground. The key to this horse is back to 2 miles, heavy ground, off a mark of 129. He's going to run a huge race. I mean, like I said, I could see this starting at tens quite easily. The other, you know, reason being he's 1 from 1 on heavy, he's 1 from 2 on soft. And the other run on soft was actually a near career best when 8th in the county hurdle last season, of a higher mark than this. Now, Tom Lacey's in very good, been in great form all season. He puts cheap pieces on and he's got a very good record with cheap pieces. He's 9 from 38, first time cheap pieces, which is very, very good. Dan will probably fill me in on the jockey, but the £7 claimer, Cameron Isles, some outstandingly strike rate figures. I mean, he's 10 from 30 this year. I think that ties in with his kind of like career form. Everything is in place for Lutral Lad to run a massive race here. Like I said, that 25 to 1. And like I said, I'd still be backing him at 12s upwards. It's Lutral Lad each way with an extra place, bet of the day by a country mile.
Excellent. Okay. Great to hear. Things you like to hear ahead of the Aintree Festival. Dan, how are you looking at it?
I really like Darrell's case in the first race, for finding that horse who can run to the sort of figure you need to. I'm convinced there's a very, very smart horse in this. And a part of it is whether he can channel his energy properly. But this bally of Philip Hobbs at the top, I mean, he doesn't do everything right. He's very headstrong. It might be a bit too soon for him, but what a strong running horse this is. That day he ran into the Nichols horse, Larchmont last. She is what she is. She's no star by any means. But he absolutely obliterated her. He just galloped her into submission. He'd almost certainly have won again at Chepstow last time, but he not unseated early on. Can just see this horse tearing up, tearing off to some extent, breaking the race apart. And I think there's an engine of a 150 horse in there if he can be channeled correctly. And therefore, I can't let him go unbacked under a £7 amateur against contemporaries who has a bit of polish to him. So yeah, I think he's too big at 12s. I think he's a really promising horse.
Have you come across
What's
this Camaral's on
yeah?
your
What's he like?
Yes,
what's
he's got. He seems to. He just primarily rides for Lacey. I'm guessing Lacey has said, "I want to keep your claim as much as I can." He doesn't take many outside rides, but yeah, very, very smooth and cool. Yeah, just watch. I mean, the reason his form things have been so good as well is Lacey's absolutely mustard with handicap hurdlers. They're almost always ready to go in the first handicap, and he's had loads this year who have sort of flourished in handicaps with Isles riding. I think he's very polished, yeah.
10 from
Excellent.
13
Okay.
this season. I guess mustard, isn't it? Yeah.
So Dan thinks the top weight Bally is there's more to come from him. At mark of 135 probably hasn't found his ceiling just yet. Daryl, how are you looking at it?
Yeah, I've got two. One of them was Luttrell Lad. Cameron Isles actually rides at Taunton tomorrow on Operation Manor. He gets back on a bit of soft surface for the first time. Well, after pulling up last time, so he's definitely worth a watch there at Taunton. I won't repeat anything that Tony said, but I'll give you the angle for the other horse. It's former flat horses that have started their career on the flat that have gone over hurdles. They've got an outstanding sort of record in this race. They finished first, second, first, 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 nowhere, second and first in the last 10 years. Eight of those were trained in Britain, and they were rated above 80 on the flat. And I thought Z-Band was quite interesting. He was a Northumberland Vase winner a few years back, but he recorded the best time of the day at Limerick last time, of the 3 2-mile races on the card. He's taken 10 hurdle starts to really get the hang of things and get going, but he relishes soft ground. He's rated 96 on the flat. Jack Gilligan takes off 7 here. He wasn't able to claim at Limerick last time. He's off a mark of 122. Taking off that 7 puts him on 115. There's scope just on the flat ability there to be better than this mark. And it's only a 7-year-old. He could have a bright future in handicaps. I was quite impressed with him at Limerick. So Z-Band, Luttrell Lad. Yeah, I think the two can get in the frame.
Excellent. Okay, Z-Bad. Jack Gilligan writes that for his father. Paul, okay, all that's left, guys, is for you to give me your Naps TC. Will I guess that Luttrell Lad for you?
Listen, first 101 shot landed of the week, Gary.
Happy
Before ATV
days.
even started.
Happy days. Daryl, are you John Bonn or Mystical Power?
I'm actually going to go Katira in
Katira,
the
excellent.
220, yeah.
Okay, and what about you, Dan?
Firefox 255.
Firefox taking on Daryl there. Okay, lovely. Don't forget the offer Thursday and Friday on the Betfair Sportsbook. Completely free bet on horse racing multiples. Watch out for all the additional place races. And don't forget to cheer Rachel Blackmore home in the Serial Winners Fund as it ebbs towards or it rises towards that quarter of a million mark, 250,000. So fingers crossed that we get there, or hopefully Betfair and their generosity might make it that before the week is out. Guys, thank you very much. Vanessa is back tomorrow to take you through the last day, the Grand National Day. Dan, I don't think you're here. It's just TC and Daryl for that. There's plenty to get through for the two guys. They'll be studying all night. As ever, thank you very much for listening and watching. And the boys will be back for Grand National Day tomorrow. Thank you very much.